Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right. The number is 347-637-3942. Okay. Welcome to the American Invasion Show. Oh, you got some. Good. My producer just found something I was looking for. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I'll get back to work. Welcome to the American Invasion Show, brought to you by the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Thank you for joining us today. We have a special show tonight. You guys are going to enjoy. We're going to find some really good information here. Now, I just made a little cup of coffee. I've got a coffee machine in the office, and this is the offices of Brownie Fox Publishing, by the way. Brownie Fox Publishing has coffee. Why? Because a lot of long hours and a lot of long nights trying to get things together. Just have to have a little bit of help. But I'd rather drink decaf, but you know that caffeine is just so good, I can't help it. So our guest tonight is going to be, I'm thinking on the line already, is going to be Mr. Aaron Barker. Aaron Barker is a fellow host of our network, GNR, and he was added on recently, and we're glad to have him. He's a true professional. And we look forward to him. And we also have a surprise guest who will be Andra. Here we go. Andra Griffin. All right. Andra Griffin's going to come to us live from Mar-a-Lago. She's going to explain what she saw and heard and things that she witnessed for the raid of the president's winter estate. So let me bring on our first guest tonight is going to be Mr. Aaron Barker. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. And welcome to the American Awesome Show.
Thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. That's good. That's good. Yeah. So tell us about yourself before our guest comes on and your career, your radio career, and whatever else you do.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much. I'm a Capricorn. I like long walks on the beach and moonlit dinners. I've been broadcasting since 2011. Now, if you count the time before that, I've had a lot of radio shows that I hosted with just me alone in my car yelling at the radio for years before that. But I got my start on a pay-as-you-go terrestrial radio station here in the Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati area. And I've worked there. What's that?
That's good. Yeah, you're close to me then.
Oh, okay. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, it was a WCVG.
Okay, right.
But it's still around, but it was a 350-watt station in the day and 400-watt station at night. So we called it the small one. And
right.
So
the big one.
Yeah. It was like the junior WLW. That's what we all thought about when we were on that station. But I started the Breakdown, which is the show that I'm hosting now. I started that back in 2013. And then in 2016, I actually started doing that as a podcast. And then I was on a couple of stations. I was on a Catholic radio station. And then I ended up on a Mojo 5.0 in 2021, I believe, is when I started on that station, February of 2021. So just over about a year and a half, I've been on Mojo 5.0. And online. So I've been trying to, you know, just building something and trying to spread the word. Now, the Breakdown, the tagline for the show is asking the questions that get you kicked out of Bible study and sent to therapy.
Right. Love it.
So we ask a lot of those questions. We dig deep. We break down a lot of the social issues today and then talk about viral news stories as well. It comes on Saturdays at 9 a.m. live, as a matter of fact.
Awesome. Well, WLW, I listened to that when I was a kid, you know, back in Columbus when I was there.
Yeah.
That's a strong station. You actually listen to it in Toledo as well.
Yeah, 50,000 watts. There's only a couple of those left in the U.S., and that's one of them. And
that was actually
they could crank that thing up.
Yeah, and that was used as a some kind of waypoint for aircraft back in way back when the radio station first came up. It was one of the most powerful in the country. It has a lot of history behind it. But here's what we got to do. Thanks for the intro. Just in time, we have our next guest who's arriving from Mar-a-Lago. Are you ready for her coming up? Welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone. Sandra Griffin.
Hi,
I go by Bullhorn Betty. Yeah.
Bullhorn Betty. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. So we are so thrilled to have you here tonight to talk about your experience and what's going on. Can you tell us about yourself a little bit before we get started?
Sure. So I have been a Florida activist in this county or in Manatee County, and then I spread out throughout the state of Florida advocating for things like liberty and, our rights, capitalism. You know, I fight here in my county. I've been trying to get gas prices, them to take the county tax off to help our citizens. So I go around all these places, and I have been a diehard Trump supporter for a really long time. I've gone to many, many rallies. I was out there in person to support our president this afternoon, but I was there from morning to afternoon and drove 3.5 hours just to be there, to be part of it. So my voice, at least me, could be heard.
Right. That's awesome. So what do you do besides being an activist? Do you have anything else?
I have a YouTube channel that covers true crime, it's not really into the cool realm, except one of the things is in my opinion, this is a true crime story where our FBI has become Gestapo of our country, attacking conservatives. You know, they are spending all millions and millions of dollars trying to find every single person that was in attendance on January 6th. And then you've got them raiding. I just want to put this in perspective. Raiding a former president's home. And despite what side of the aisle you are on, that doesn't matter. Because if it can happen to Trump, it can happen to another past president. And that means of any side of the aisle. This is not good. I don't know what word describes the feeling. I don't want to say almost warlike because I think that's setting a major tone that doesn't need to be set. But they are
right. They
are starting something here. This is not something that I feel we just need to look the other way and let the courts deal with it, because we've been watching this happen over and over again, them actively using law enforcement to prevent a president from, one, doing his job, and two, from going for reelection. They are positioning themselves.
Yeah.
I can see it. There's no blinders on my eyes. I see what they are doing, and every American should be very concerned.
Absolutely. You know, this is a future crime as well. This is not just a couple of days ago. This is for the future. This is purposely done to smear him before election time and before the midterms. I think this is terrible, and it goes against all they had to do is knock on his door, ruin the documents, and they didn't have to see him because they already took care of that. So we want to know what you think of this as far as how this happened. I don't. Were you involved in it anyway, or were you in the area at the time?
Oh, of course not. No, I live about 3.5 hours away. I wasn't there. I actually received the notification through social media, like many of you, the people that are listening, probably received it. And my antennas went up. It was almost the same type of antennas I had when we were being shut down for COVID. And I'm sitting here thinking, they can't do that. They can't do that. Like, there's laws to prevent the government from doing this, yet they're doing it. And so those antennas started ticking up, and it's like, this is not good. This is an assault on the American people. This is an assault. This was intimidation at its core. This is nothing but Pelosi, Schumer, Gestapo. That's it. That's what the FBI has turned into. People have lost faith in the justice system. I see people that have had faith like myself. I have an AA in paralegal studies. I believed in the law. I worked with attorneys because I believed in the law. And this has shaken my education, my core values, to its core.
Yeah, I was on the Rory Sauter show last night, and I explained, I'm a retired federal employee. Things like this, they have so many rules, don't happen anywhere but in D.C. So whoever is in power and pulling the strings, those are the people that they go to because they know they can be bought or mm-hmm. whatever. They have no accountability. When you get to that level, there's absolutely no accountability to take care of those people. They're like above the law, above the job kind of people. So I'm not really surprised. This is more important to somebody. Somebody's pulling the strings to mm-hmm. make this happen. And this is a desperate move. You're right. I totally agree with you. I would put Pelosi's name in there for sure. Because, I mean, look what she did over the weekend when she went to Taiwan. Her son did business deals, and then the president was in the stock. and you know, and it's just like everything is geared for them, and not mm-hmm. us. And you can jump in any time there and play.
Yeah, we also have just one more key point. A bunch of us were out there talking today, and there was a few key points. You know, we believe that there's corruption in this country. We know that there's corruption. We're not assessing corruption on one side or the other. They are both corrupt as hell. The problem that, at least in the majority of them, you know, we got Mark Meadows, we got a lot of people on the red team that probably shouldn't be there, so to speak.
Absolutely.
One of the things that we were discussing was how, for example, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, they left office bankrupt, but only two short years later had millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. That is corruption. When you have statesmen, like for example, Nancy Pelosi's been in office for all this time. Where is she getting money to buy all of these expensive homes around the country? You know, Bernie Sanders. When Obama came into office, he had like $5,000 or $6,000 in his bank account. Where did his millions of dollars come from? These are things that with a $100,000 salary, these things don't make sense to me.
What do you have to say, Aaron? You got anything on for this?
Oh, well, I think I was just as shocked as everybody else was about this entire situation. Hello, by the way, Andrew. Nice to meet you. My name is Aaron Barker.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yes, ma'am. I think I was as shocked as this was, and not so much shocked that something like this was happening, some type of scandal like this was happening, but the fact that it's just so blatant now, it seems like the more and more the farther along we go into this, the more the Donald Trump's name is mentioned, the more that his desire to run for president this next election cycle is becoming more evident, more apparent, the more mm-hmm. freaked out the deep state gets. And they just seem to lose all of their decorum. There's no stopgaps. There's nothing that will make them stop what they're doing because they're so blinded by the fact that they can't have somebody like Donald Trump in office again. And I hope they stop short of any type of physical harm to him at all. But when you've got something as devastating as someone who's actually attempting to drain the swamp, fighting against the deep state, standing up for religious freedom, standing up for religious rights, and then keeping us out of war, increasing the economy, whenever the deep state sees a candidate like that, they're going to pull out all the stops that they can. But a lot of times they're a little bit more secretive about it. This is just becoming so blatant. We're watching what's happening with Donald Trump, with what's happening with his family. And then we see afterwards, we see all the links that people have. You know, there's a judge that was tied to the Epstein case that was linked to the the approval of the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago. We see that there were court documents, or there was a binder. I think the Gateway Pundit just released a story about an hour ago that there was a binder that Trump had tried to declassify back when he left office, and they had Spygate documents which linked people to Crossfire Hurricane, that scandal, and then containing damaging information about certain corrupt actors within the government. So they're trying to obtain that information. But right now the deep state is just kind of flailing. They are trying to stop President Trump from running again, from energizing and getting everybody worked up and mobilizing once again. And they're starting to get really sloppy, which is good for us because we're starting to see more of those cracks in the dam. And we're starting to see them at this point where they are now where they're now so desperate that they will do anything to try to prevent him. And this whole we see this with the whole January 6th scandal. We see this with all of the this fake faux theater that we see going on with the Congress that really has no power to do anything in this. They're just asking a bunch of questions. They're putting on record information that is based on hearsay, information that is based on false accusations. And we even watching something like January 6th, people were so on, they were so alerted, they were on such a heightened sense of awareness on that day that they were watching guys like Ray Epps trying to energize the crowd. They watched the police in riot gear begin to throw flashbangs and attack the crowd to instigate a violent response from them. People see this stuff. So even though, you know, we could talk about obviously how unfair and how ridiculous this this raid on President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago was, but I think the bigger picture is the fact that we've got the deep state so freaked out. They're on the run. And they're going to keep crawfishing, and we just have to keep chasing them away and keep pushing them away with the truth.
Yeah, and I think the reason why, I don't necessarily think it's sloppy that they're doing it in the light like this. I think you hit the nail on the head, the desperation, because I believe Donald Trump has gained such a massive following from him exposing so much, because he didn't just expose, you know, one side. He exposed it all. He exposed the stuff on our side, too. You know, and here in my county, the people that were trying to take my liberties away were primarily Republicans. So the idea that this is just, you know, I am a true conservative Republican. I've been a Republican since the day I was able to vote. I've never changed my party. I love my country. I think many people like me love their country, and I feel, you know who I feel the worst for is these, and it's their choice, though. It's their choice, but it's the moderate Democrat, the mom and pops, because they're not with all this stuff with their party. I've talked to gay, lesbian, and trans sexual people. They're not with all of this. They're not with all this he, she, pronoun garbage stuff. They're not with PC correctness. This is not, in my opinion, what the majority of the Democrat Party really truly want.
I think Disney showed really you that was that's what you're saying is true. I mean, nobody wants to go there anymore, and the movies are flopping because of that. The woke culture. I agree with you.
Yeah,
but
that's just
what gets the most airtime. That's what gets the most airtime, because.
Go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
I was going to say the last thing I forgot to make my point was that just go ahead. I've lost my point anyways. I apologize about that.
Oh, no worries at all. I think what the people that don't want those things happening, you know, the homosexual community, those people who are just looking for rights, for civil rights, et cetera. That's the me, the him, her, ze, zim, zi pronoun situation and all the drag queen story hours and the children being taught to strip. I don't know if y'all saw that video or not, but there were children at a pride rally that were being taught to strip. We're talking about young boys were being taught how to you know, work a stripper pole.
That to me is child abuse.
Oh, absolutely. And it was – it is beyond frustrating, and I will say it's disgusting to see something like that happen. And I've actually, mm-hmm. as you have, Andrea, talked to homosexuals that don't want that stuff, who don't agree with that type of stuff that is making the waves. But that's what the far left liberal agenda is pushing. That's what they want, and it's a small population of folks. But the problem is, once you start getting that type of base energized, then all those who are centrists, all those who are regular liberals, all those who are regular Democrats, the entire left just flocks towards that, because that's the hot fire, hot button issue. I think deep down to their core, the majority of people don't want little kids going to drag queen shows. They don't want drag queen story hours in their library. They don't want to see that stuff. But you can't get past the hatred of somebody like Donald Trump long enough to have a conversation like that and actually get to the heart of the matter and what the issues are. And I think a lot of people are blinded by their hatred of the other side, the other political aisle, whatever aisle that may be. They're so blinded by their hatred of that other side that you can't boil down the conversation to what folks really want.
They're making emotional decisions, and they've got to realize these emotional decisions are costing the country lots of money and a lot of work. We got a lot of work ahead of us. This didn't happen overnight. It's not going to be fixed overnight. We all have to do our part in moving that needle forward. The bottom line is that we are sick and tired of supporting countries that want to kill us. I am sick and tired of having no control over where my tax dollars go. I have to pay the taxes whether I like them or not, and I've got to eat the crap that they shovel down my throat where the money goes is spent. Why are we sending millions of dollars over to Pakistan for, I don't want to say trans, but bisexual type of gay type of training and whatever they use that for? It was just disgusting. Yet we have people here in our own country, veterans that fought, that have psychological damage from going over to wars, that are sleeping on the streets. That money could have used to house them for a year or more. And they have done nothing to our vets that are sick, our vets that struggle with mental illness, never mind about the children in this country that are just disappearing off the face of the earth, and no changes to our laws for our children and the alphabet soup of child welfare. But let me go and protest in front of a politician's house, and you've got a protest bill here in Florida with my picture on it.
Wow.
And that's a problem I have. And guess what? It was Republicans that did that. I love, and you know what we do? We saddled up and we have cleaned house here in Manatee County by voting in not just Republicans, but conservative, staunch Republicans into office here in this county. And it is making a major impact. We're seeing a lot of great changes. We had over $500 million sitting in a little account, a silo, just sitting there. Meanwhile, our infrastructure is falling apart around us. Our people went in there and they started cleaning this county up. They started taking that $500 million and fixing our infrastructure issues, which had been they just haven't even paid attention to them. They were so worried about collecting our money and not spending it that everything was crumbling around us.
Let me, that's great. I'm going to reel you guys back in. So I think that the bottom line is, I'm a veteran, by the way, and thanks for saying that.
Oh, great. Thank you for your service.
It was my pleasure. I enjoyed every minute of it. But getting back to the real issue here is rights, obeying the Constitution and following the rules. And this is what everything that is done right was done right. And so all this is being made up. So you mentioned January 6th. I have two of my friends that are in prison right now. And they left July, a year ago, not this July. But, and they are rotting in the prison. And I have an attorney friend I have on this show every once in a while who is working on one of the prisoners' cases. And they're treated like animals. And they can't cut their hair. They got to burn their hair off. They get molded bread and everything. And this is supposed to be America. And who's behind that? You're going to find out. It's one of the people you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so. It absolutely is. And to be honest with you, I know several people that have been in there too. One person was not given his medication and had passed away last year, passed away in that jail. You didn't hear about that. And God knows how many others we didn't hear about. If we didn't, I just happened to know family of this man. And he never made it out of that jail. They are locked down 24 hours a day or 23. I don't even think they get an hour out. I don't know whether they do or not. But I've heard of the despicable, I've heard of the despicable treatment that they've gotten. They've been denied their own attorneys. When in America have we denied criminals or anybody in this country an attorney facing the charges that these guys are facing?
There are no charges. That's the problem.
Yeah, a judge has came up, and he said he had a problem with them being detained. A judge, a federal judge, told this to the state police and the government over in Washington, D.C. He has a problem with what they're doing because most of these people will be charged with misdemeanors, and he would only levy a six-month probation sentence. And most of these people at this time had already been in custody for over 8 months.
Yes. Yeah.
And they were still not being let out.
No, they can't be let out. I think one of the loopholes is that Washington, D.C. is not part of the United States. A lot of people don't know that.
Right.
I think that's why they have African guards and things like that. They have foreigners are running that. But it was all
Either way, something's not
people.
Right. Something's not right. This whole thing with Donald Trump is a very scary situation. People, we saw a plane driving above us. And it had ha-ha six times. So ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Flying over Mar-a-Lago today. And I'm sitting there thinking, that could have been your president. You are so, you got these blinders on that you can't see the forest for the trees. Like, you don't understand what you're advocating for. Wait until it's your president. And then don't come back and start complaining when the shoe is on the other foot. The problem is the Republicans don't act like that. As crazy as they are, I have not yet seen any Republican advocate for a raid of a past president's home, including Nixon.
Right.
So.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that they're laying the foundation, and they don't even realize this.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest reasons why law has to be evenly applied to every prisoner, to every person. That's why due process is in the Bill of Rights. That's why we have the protection of our Fourth Amendment assets. That's why we are – it's why it's built into the foundational documents of our nation to ensure that we have applicable justice to every single person, regardless of race, creed, nationality, origin, money or no money, whatever their economic class is. And I don't really think people have the foresight to consider that what's being done to – President Trump today, or what's being done to the January 6th prisoners right now, is going to happen to the left in the future. It's going to happen to somebody on their side of the aisle in the future. Honestly, this is really just the continuation of something like the Patriot Act being passed, you know, and also the National Defense Authorization Act. And we were talking, Ron Paul was talking about this years ago, and Alex Jones was talking about this. Many people probably. More than we can name right now, we're talking about this. Judge Andrew Napolitano was huge on this. That's where I got the majority of my education about the Patriot Act was from him and Alex Jones back in the late 2000s. When you have something like the Patriot Act that just shreds the Constitution, which gives the government the right to give you a sealed national security letter, then they can search your home for whatever they want to find. Similar to what happened at Donald Trump's estate, when they can when they can arrest you and confine you without any type of due process laws. This is what's happening to the January 6th defendants right now. All of this is just the fruition. Everything that was planted, you know, every tree that's planted, it takes years for that to begin to bear fruit, to grow up, to be a stronger tree, to bear fruit. All of this stuff is bearing fruit, and it all went back. And, you know, farther before that, you know, you have the continuity of government stuff that they were doing back in the 1980s. But then when 9/11 happened, and that gave them the impetus to do something like the Patriot Act, now we're seeing the fruits of their labor. People are arrested. People are detained. We have the Transportation and Security Administration in the airports that are frisking people.
TSA.
The TSA, they're frisking people with no due process. You're automatically considered a criminal until you prove yourself innocent. And this is unfortunately the direction that our country is headed. And if each party, because you know, I'm a conservative libertarian, and if each party begins to realize that whatever rules and laws that we are thinking about or creating now are eventually going to come back and bite us in the tail, I think we would really do best to base that on the Bill of Rights, you know, kind of like the founders wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I hope we can get America back, to be honest with you, because right now I'm looking at it and it doesn't look recognizable. And for a lot of young people, this is what they know. I mean, we have a whole generation lost to this nonsense. And if it keeps going, we're going to even have more. You know, these children these days, I mean, let's look at where our country has gone, if I may, just if you give me a little bit of latitude. A lot of these children aren't getting those jobs, but they have $100,000 school debts. They have $100,000 school debts, and they're working as a barista at Starbucks. You know, this is the culture that, you know, where they wanted all that money. They wanted the government to sponsor their college. So they made all these different programs. Well, 90% of those programs you can't do nothing with. You can't do nothing with your college education except go and be a barista. So you're $100,000 in debt coming out of college, and you got no future, no foreseeable future, unless Starbucks, you want to become a manager or an owner of a Starbucks. And this is these kids are staying home longer and longer. I have known families that are still taking care of their 40-year-old children.
Wow.
This is the culture. This is the culture that our country has done. This is what they have invited in, where these people have no foreseeable. A whole generation of people are gone. I mean, they're brainwashed. They're not thinking clearly. They think that all we are supposed to do is go to work and hand somebody else our paycheck.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, way back in the 80s, when I was a young man, my friends would say, Dad told me, once you turn 18, you're out of the house. I don't care if you have a job or not, you're getting out. People were pushing their kids out, and they're encouraging them, because that's what we wanted to do. We didn't have any dreams of staying home. It's a different world now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then you take that, and then you put the cost of gas, this rising cost of gas. I mean, we just a month ago had the highest gas prices in the history of this country. That's not the kind of history I think we should be making here. You know, we should be, we are one of the most advanced countries in this world. We should not be having these types of problems. We should not be begging on our knees to all these third world countries that want to kill us for their fuel. We shouldn't. They should be opening up our reserves and getting those prices down, because every American, after going through a recession, now we're going through almost another one. It definitely has the indicators of it. And then people's finances have been dwindled to nothing. Before President Obama came into office, I had over $100,000 in my savings account. Right now, I can barely keep $2,000 in my savings account at one time. I was much younger when I had that money than I am today, because of all the recessions, the lack of jobs, the, you know, shutting the country down. That has eaten away over $100,000 over all these years.
Got the Build Back Better bill and the Inflation Reduction Act. That's really going to help out with all of this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
It's all good now. But if that happened if that happened to me, it's happening to a lot of people. I'm not, trust me, I'm not special.
Factor in inflation too.
Yeah, so. Well, guys, it was great talking to you. Do you guys have any other questions for me? I've been on the road for almost 7 hours today. I'm ready to.
No, we appreciate you coming on and talking about this, because this is hot in the headlines right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a tragedy. People don't realize that, you know, some people are doing that victory lap. Hey, yeah, this lap. But that's not how things are supposed to work. And you can't create laws in the Senate and then pass it through Congress. You know what I mean? Everything is so
backwards.
Wrong. But and being accepted as, and nobody's saying anything. It's like, of course they're not going to say anything.
Yeah.
This is the world we live in now. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Just like the Bible says.
Boys are girls. Girls are boys. I mean, we can go on and on about how wrong everything has been over the last, you know, decade and how it's progressively getting worse. And actually, and I'm saying a decade, but this problem started 20, 30, 40 years ago. They made this plan. They've executed it well because we've had our heads in the sand. But had it not been for President Trump, we would still all be none the wiser.
Right.
We'd all still be none the wiser. But because of this disrupt, at the time that it happened, it exposed a lot, and it made them fear, and they had to start pushing stuff through as quickly as possible because they didn't know what he was going to do when he got into office. And that's when the real problem started, you know, rearing its ugly head. Also, Friday and Saturday, for those people that are listening that are in the Palm Beach community, you know, the Miami area, or anybody across the state of Florida that would like to go, there are still going to be rallies out there in front of Mar-a-Lago. So if you guys would like to come out, you know, there's going to be a big group Friday night and a big group Saturday night. So, you know, I hope all your listeners, if they can, come out. Be
sure.
Around like-minded people.
Yeah, this show actually originates out of Southern Florida. So I have a – where could we reach you? What? How can I meet you? Meet you on the
what I'll do is I'll send my cell phone to you guys, my cell phone and my email through the Messenger app, and you'll have it. You can call me. I'll be out there. I'm not going out there tomorrow. Today about what my butt, it was hot. It's really, really hot. So I'm going to take tomorrow off, but Friday and Saturday I'll be back in the Palm Beach area.
All right. Well, it's nice having you on. And
yeah,
thank you
I appreciate
for
it. It was nice to meet
us.
You both. Yes. Yes,
oh, you
let
too.
Me vent because it's nice. So I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Before we go any further, we're going to talk a little bit. We have a caller that probably has questions for you, if you don't mind.
Please bring it on.
Okay, so I don't know if you had anything more to say before we continue this, or is this okay? I mean, you're on radio.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah.
All right, here we go. Caller from Illinois. Welcome to the American Legion Show.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. Keeping my nose to the grindstone.
Oh, that's good. So you have a question for our new host. This is our newest host for the PNR Network. And I thought I'd have him on tonight to introduce everybody. So, or did you have a question for the last guest? She had to go. So.
I was just calling in. You had sent me a message earlier about the show was going to be concentrating on the Mar-a-Lago incident.
Yes. What do you have to say about that?
I caught the very end of what the young lady was saying about how this has been a plan for 20, 30 years, and that's the truth. The culmination of that plan was supposed to be Hillary Clinton winning the presidency, and she didn't.
Absolutely.
And now that President Trump has reared his head and shown the light on what was happening with the Democratic Party and with the liberals and the left, he's the enemy. And they've weaponized the DOJ, they've weaponized the FBI, and anything else they can do to try to crush him. And my question is, how long until it comes to the point where anybody that speaks against him, anybody that doesn't believe in their ideology, is no longer a conspiracy theorist, but an enemy to be crushed. And that could be you, me, or anybody else that doesn't believe in what they're saying.
Right. And I know your background is you're a former Marine. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, sir. I'm always a Marine.
Yes, I know. There's never a former Marine. I know that.
Never.
I learned that the hard way when I was. So, okay, Aaron, can you answer that question? Can you comment on that, please?
You have to demonize every person that doesn't agree with you. That's the whole left's idea, the whole left's agenda is if you don't like somebody, I'm sorry, if you don't agree with somebody or if somebody doesn't agree with you, in order for you to ensure that you can win that argument, you have to be able to turn them into an enemy. And the caller is exactly right. Thank you both for your service, by the way, because you've had those situations. You know, you've argued with your spouse. You're like in it. You're in it really heated, and then you start bringing in stuff. You realize you're losing the arguments. You start bringing in something that they did to you in the past, or, you know, you start throwing barbs just to try to win. It's the same thing with liberals. They act like the petulant children who are trying to argue against their parents about why they should go out, and then they end up screaming at their parents, telling them they hate them, and they never let them do what they want to. You know, if you can make the other person, the other side, in some way an evil demon, then you can completely delegitimize the merits of what they're saying. We have to have more mature conversations, but we can't have that with a child. You know, it honestly is like arguing with an adolescent when you're talking to a liberal, because they have to make sure that they win an argument not based on the merits, but based on you being hateful. Because they know, I honestly think that there are a lot of folks who are liberals that know that their ideas will not be able to slug it out in the arena of thoughts if they were to actually get a chance to do that. So if you're a bigot, if you're a homophobe, if you're a xenophobe, if you're anything like that that they can attach hatred to and then build momentum from their little peons to also hate you because of those reasons, then your argument loses legitimacy in their eyes. And unfortunately, that's what they're up against.
They're not hating you on the merits of your argument. They're hating you just to hate you. Because that gives them a power. That gives them that feeling of superiority that they are above us. You know, they're very egocentric. They're very narcissist. They thrive power. And by belittling you and demonizing you, that makes them feel powerful, and that gives them a wand to wave.
Or a flag.
Yeah. Well, the word enemy was a very poignant word, because that's what they've made us, is the enemy, and they've declared war on us. Okay?
Right.
And I was always told from a child, be careful what you wish for. Okay, because it's coming. At some point, the American people are going to say enough is enough, and they're going to repel this, whether it be by words, whether it be through court, whether it be through the Senate, or whether it be through a revolution, which is a really scary word to throw out there. But at some point, enough is enough, and they're not going to take anymore. How many more of our rights are we going to give up before we stop and say, you know what, this is supposed to be a constitutional republic, not a tyranny. We elect you. You
Absolutely.
Work for us.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, when will people pull their head out of the sand, stop? The whole world is at a point now where if the bug doesn't hit their windshield, they don't care. As long as it doesn't hit their windshield, they don't care. They don't care what's happening to other people in this country. They don't care what's happening to their neighbor, as long as it doesn't affect them directly.
You know, in many ways.
You mentioned that. Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, in many ways, COVID-19 may have been one of the best things to happen to this world. Because through all of the restrictions, all of the economic turmoil, all of the mask wearing, all of the business being shut down, schools being shuttered, churches closing down, people started to wake up and realize. You know, as I mentioned previously, we had the Patriot Act. People didn't care. Just as the caller said, you know, the bug wasn't hitting their windshield, they didn't give a crap. The NDAA passed. They didn't care. But now when it's something that happens in their backyard or happens to the paycheck or their own bank account, now they're losing their jobs, their kids are having to move back home, insurance costs are going up, gas prices are increasing, churches are shut down, et cetera, et cetera. You just see that continually happen. You see the type of tyranny that was applied to the nation through that time. I think it's starting to click with a lot more people now. that the higher ups, the deep state, is not concerned with our well-being. They're concerned with power. That's their aphrodisiac. They want power. They've got all the money. They want power. And if they can control you by making you or forcing you to wear a mask, they're going to get off on making you wear a mask. But that may have been probably one of the best things to happen to us to energize. And when I say the word revolution, I'm not talking about a violent revolution. I'm talking about a revolution of ideas, a revolution of, a revival to understand the concepts of Scripture, the concepts of the Word of God, a renaissance back to the original founding principles of the nation. It could have been that, and I believe in many ways it was, that spark to start that.
Well, another thing that's being ignored and that people pay no attention to because it hasn't happened to them. I'm an angel dad. I lost my son to an illegal in 2017. And the blind eye that people turn to what's going on at our southern border, the invasion of our country and our government opening the door and letting them in. And they don't care because it hasn't happened to them. People have to,
right.
We have to get off this I, me mentality and come back together as a country like we did after after September 11th, 2001. You know, this country came together in a way it hadn't in decades. And now that's all gone. It's all forgotten.
Hey, Sergeant Walden.
That unity is,
Hey, okay, this ties together. This is perfect because I was just talking to somebody about this recently. This is kind of funny, but it's not. You know how they have the border open, and this affected you personally, your family, and your other friends.
And hundreds of thousands of others.
Yes. You know, they're opening the border, and I love the fact that the governors are sending them to D.C., and they're sending them to New York City, and they're having a cow there. We can't handle this. We got all this stuff. This is your...
Oh, yeah, they're calling up the National Guard.
Instead. Right. The National Guard doesn't belong anywhere near that or on the border. That's not what they're there for, but that's a whole other story. But the thing is, they want it in your backyard, not theirs.
It's a crisis of their own making, and you're absolutely correct. As long as it stays in Texas, they don't care. As long as, the border towns in Texas and the Arizona, they're getting destroyed. They're getting overrun. They're, all their funding is being poured out to people that don't belong in this country in the first place.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Right.
But when their funding and their tax dollars have to pay for it, that's where the problem starts. I've been to D.C. numerous times with FAIR and their Feet to the Fire event. And I've seen the homeless issue in D.C., okay? It's a problem. There's a major homeless problem in D.C. And I asked them, I said, these people are homeless. Where are they coming up with all this equipment, these tents, these coolers? The city's giving it to them. So now they have a new influx of people they don't want there. So they want to reach out and ask that the National Guard come in. What's the National Guard going to do?
No.
What's the National Guard going to do?
They can't.
It's a crisis of their own making. And now they have to live with the decisions they've made, and they don't want to now.
The National Guard is their answer to everything, apparently.
Yeah. Well, except January 6th. They didn't need to be there for that.
Exactly. But
this thing, as the lady was saying earlier, there has been a plan on the left for many years. Okay? They want to be the power. They want to have the authority. They want us subservient. They want us dependent upon them for everything. They want us to bow and curtsy and kneel before them. To get our most basic rights and needs. And that all got thrown into the outhouse when Trump beat Clinton.
Right.
And people can say whatever they want to say about Donald Trump, okay? As a president Donald Trump had the best for this country at heart. Okay, he firmly believed in America first, and he did that. You know, he renegotiated NAFTA or whatever the hell they call it now. You know, he renegotiated the trade deal so that they weren't so slanted in some other country's favor that we actually got something out of it. And for that, the left hated him, and I'll never understand that. He tried to make this country better. He tried to better our living environment.
The best way to understand that is the best way to understand that, and is whatever is good for America, whatever is positive towards the Western civilization, whatever is wholesome or righteous, whatever is biblically based, whatever is God honoring, the left absolutely hates. I mean, and that's
firmly agreed.
I mean, and if you open up the borders and you welcome in as many people as you possibly can, you bring disease, drug dealers, you bring voters with that, it doesn't matter. And I'm terribly sorry about your loss. That is heartbreaking to hear something like that, because you're personally impacted by what is happening. I'm sure you know many others that are impacted by this as well, but you are personally impacted by their attempt to destroy this country, not just through a paycheck, not just through a job, not just through religion, not just by watching rights being stripped away, but by an intimate way like that, by the loss of your son. But they don't care about you. They don't care about your son. They don't care about your job. As long as it's something that it takes us down a track to destroy America, that's what they're for.
Well, my son was out in Maryland, and he was in a sanctuary county out there, Anne Arundel County, and he was in the Marine Corps. My son was in the Marine Corps. He worked for the NSA. My son spied with a computer for this country, okay? The man that killed him, 5 years prior to him killing my son, they officially declared him illegal. They officially admitted they knew in 2012 that he was illegal. Okay, between 2012 and 2017, he'd been in jail 5 times. Five. And they turned him back out. Any Angel family's death, any Angel family's loss cannot be called an accident. Because had they done their job and they had put these people back to whatever country it was that they came from here illegally, they would not have been there to take our family member. Cut and dry. There are hundreds of thousands of Angel families out there. Do you hear from any of them in the mainstream media? Do you hear any of them being brought into the halls of Congress or the House of Representatives to testify? No. Because they don't want the American people to know the truth of what's happened. It doesn't fit their agenda. And it's the most frustrating thing in the world. For 5 years, I've been fighting. I've been testifying before subcommittees in Maryland. I've gone to Wisconsin and testified before their legislator. I've gone to Florida. I've gone to Texas. And it just doesn't matter. They don't listen. They don't care.
Absolutely.
Just falls
Eric,
on deaf ears.
Do you have anything? Do you have anything to say? We're gonna let the caller go. Thank you for calling. Do you have any final thing to say?
Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah. Let's try again.
Thank you for what you're doing and for testifying and for carrying on and honoring your son's memory, because that may be the thing that wakes people up. It may be the story that helps people to realize what is what's actually happening. So thank you for that. Our prayers go out to you, and I am sorry for your loss. Appreciate what you're doing to make it into a hopefully positive impetus for change.
Absolutely.
Thank you for that.
And thank you, Mr. Walden. You're a true hero, more ways than one, and thanks for getting the word out. And I'm happy you called. Thank you very much.
Appreciate your time. Have a good night.
All right. You too, sir.
You too.
So, Mr. Walden, he goes to the White House, different places. And these people are revered because of things that happened to them. And I know a few of them. And it's sad. And I've been on shows with them on podcasts, and it's very sad to hear their stories. But, you know, true American, this guy fought in the Marine Corps, and no respect. And, you know, you can't use the Guard as a Band-Aid for everything. That's their answer. National Guard for the nurses and doctors, that doesn't work either because they work somewhere else during the week. So let's get back to you. I want to know what this the Potter's Ranch is. You are director at administration of Potter's Ranch. We want to know what that is.
It's a private Christian retreat, and I'm the administrative director there. And we provide lodging and activities and meals for guests that are coming into town. Typically, we have a lot of traffic that comes from the from Answers in Genesis that has the Ark and Creation Museum, which are about 20 to 30 miles away from us. So a lot of folks come and stay and go to those locations, which are really fantastic locations. If you've never been to the Ark of the Creation Museum, it's worth a trip.
I have not met.
One of the reasons that they one of the reasons that they put it here. Go ahead.
No, my kids have been there and they thought it was fantastic. I need to get down there.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a blast. The Ark is just. I always recommend people, if you're going to go to the Creation Museum first, and then go to the Ark, because the Creation Museum is amazing. I could spend days, weeks, hours, months there. I could spend, you know, all kinds of time just reading all the information and just soaking in all of the knowledge. But then when you go to the Ark, you're actually looking at a life-size creation of the Ark, a replica of the Ark. So you're standing outside of this thing. It's massive. It is absolutely huge. It's just breathtaking. So, both of those places definitely are great places to visit.
Yeah, I have heard nothing but good things. So this is awesome that you do this, and I see that you have a lot of a Christian theme running through, and your moral compass is intact. And it's not always that way with, you know, people. It's just anybody. You know, you call yourself Republican, you call yourself conservative, and then you've been here bought already to Washington. And I've had people run for Congress and governor here saying, you know, once you get there, they're going to own you and they will make you vote their way, because that's the way it is. Notice how, like, Manchin couldn't get his deal settled or finished, or he couldn't hold on to it very much longer because he's being threatened or something else is going on, or he got bribed, or we're going to get this for your family. So that doesn't, like you said, anything good doesn't happen, and there's other seats of evil. So what's your opinion of that? What do you think of Washington, D.C.? You kind of hinted a little bit on that.
The thing about it is I love the United States. My wife and I actually just got back from a trip to Arizona, and that's the farthest Las Vegas is the farthest west I've ever been, but okay. That is the first time I've ever visited Arizona. And I'm from the Ohio Valley, so I live up here in northern Kentucky, and it's extremely humid all the time. So it could be like 90 degrees, but 100% humidity, 85 degrees, and it's just smoldering outside. Feels like somebody, as soon as you walk outside, feels like somebody threw a wet, warm blanket over top of you. But out there in Arizona, man, I mean, I know people always joke around that it's a dry heat, but honestly, I mean, it really was, it wasn't horribly uncomfortable. I mean, it was hot. Don't get me wrong. It was hot, but oddly enough, it was bearable. You know, it was like 110 degrees on one of the days we were there. I've been to several states. I'm not as traveled as a lot of people, definitely not as traveled as someone like yourself, I'm sure, who was in the service. But every time I go someplace here in the United States, I always find something about it that I love. I've even been to New Jersey, and I like it there. Some, you know, little small places of Jersey, but I love the United States of America. I love this land. I love, from sea to shining sea. I love all the people, most of the people. I love the idea of freedom. I love the ideas and the principles that we're based on. And I love the fact that we were a country that started as a Christian nation, and we grew strong roots from that, and that each individual still, in theory, has specific rights that are laid out in the Bill of Rights. We have specific things that are still treasured by the majority of folks here in the United States.
Right.
But I hate Washington. The government that has been created from the freedom that we once started with. This government, this is like a weed that's grown all around your tomato plants.
Yeah.
It's choking out the sun and the rain, and you can't get any good tomatoes off the plant because, you know, you have all of these blockages. And I feel the same way with Washington. I honestly have such a disdain for the majority. I mean, you look at something like this Inflation Reduction Act. This Inflation
Right.
Reduction Act is so much ridiculous pork. I got a text from somebody the other night, and they said it was right after this passed, and they were like, "Can you believe that the Republicans voted against an insulin price control and price drop in insulin?" I was like, "Pause the game. First, what does climate change, drug prices, and inflation have to do with each other? Why in the world are we creating bills that have more than its intended purpose? It's an Inflation Reduction Act, but you're talking about climate change? I mean, what in the world?" And they do that stuff just so you can have texts like that. "Well, the Republicans voted against insulin control." No, they voted against a horrible package. You know, so all of that stuff, I can't stand the political game like that. I dislike it. And I really wish that we could shrink the federal government down to its biblically defined role and then have as minimal government as possible. And then everybody just, live in each respective sovereign state that they're in.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Washington keeps getting in the way.
So what you're saying is we should go back to only going to Congress maybe 5 days a year. You shouldn't be a full-time congressman or senator. Your state is what counts, and the state will tell the senator how to vote. That's how it used to be. The people.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
They're not even with the people. They have no connection to the people until they come back and, you know, for re-election or whatever. But the problem is it's the seat of power, and the seat of power is the seat of corruption. And this is why they had them, every so often it's your turn to go. Put down the plow and you go up there and you serve. But you don't make it a career. And they're in there forever.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, term limits would be great. I think, one of the fellow hosts, Peter Serafin, also had something similar to that, some amendments to the Constitution. And one of those, which people have been talking about for many years, is a term limit. You know, so people can't just continually live in Washington like that. But that is, you know, it's frustrating because so many people have that idea that everything is based in Washington. And it's been years of brainwashing. You know, the president is the most powerful person in the world. The Congress is so necessary. The Supreme Court, I mean, all those things are important, yes,
right,
to the extent that they carry out the administrative duties in the Constitution. But we've given the government so much power beyond what their original intent was. I mentioned about the biblical aspect of it, which is very limited in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And then even in the Constitution itself is an administrative document that tells us how to run the government in Washington. The Bill of Rights were actually things that were created, amendments that were created and added to the Constitution, of course, to prevent the federal government from encroaching upon the state's rights. You know, it was never meant to be this wax nose that we have now, where the federal government can come into your state and tell you that you can't prevent certain books being in the library, or you can't prevent the freedom of expression of a drag queen that wants to do a story hour at a library. If we were to get back to the original intent of the Constitution, which is each state having their own state constitutions and being sovereignly run,
right,
then you would be able to put an end to things like Drag Queen Story Hour. You'd be able to put an end to needless departments like the Department of Education, the Department of Agriculture, mm-hmm, the IRS, all of those things. So, I think that that's a groundswell. I think that that sentiment is not original to me. You're agreeing with that. I think that honestly, people are starting to come to that realization that things that like what happened in Trump's estate in Mar-a-Lago, the overreach of the federal government in each of our individual states because of their funding, the federal funding for education, et cetera. They're starting to see that what's rotting the government, what's rotting at the very core of our nation is Washington and its growing tentacles as it reaches out to destroy as much as it can, everything it touches.
So a couple weeks ago, I had a guest on. His name is David Frank, and he was talking about with the technology we have today, we can do everything we wanted to, we want, online or on some kind of special TV. You can do your city council, you can do your national things, you can actually get a receipt for reading the entire bill instead of having the clouds in D.C. do this for us. And you know there's everything, nothing is straight there. Everything is slanted to somebody's advantage. So they're the ones who win every time. But the people like us, city council, we decide, the people decide. That's how all this works. And they have the states don't have their own rights anymore. People think, well, the national government, people have it twisted, as you know, that the federal government is, you know, the lead of everything. The federal government is supposed to work for us. They're only supposed to do 13 things, right? That's what they're supposed to do. And now they're getting involved in everything. They can't tell you to do this, that, or the other. That's not their job. They don't have the authority. But they've somehow gotten that. They've usurped that from us. And they're taking our taxes, which was never part of the plan either. So
right.
how do we – so this program is called OneVoiceNow.org. And it's a great guest if you ever needed somebody talk about these kind of things. He knows his stuff, and I think it's be really good for America if it ever came to fruition because it gives the power back to the people. It's something that's not impossible, but it would require somebody to carry the football to forward. So I forwarded this to my friends and see how that goes. But for somebody to do that, I mean, it shows you how far we've gone. People don't even realize it. So they're in everything. And just, I'm going to say something radical here. We don't need an FAA, okay?
Yeah.
Military doesn't use them. Military doesn't use them. They don't have it. Somehow they fly safely. The FAA, and I worked for an airline at one time, so I know that you have to have two ashtrays on every flight or they ground it, and nobody smokes. That's how ridiculous some of the things are. The TSA, as you mentioned before, I was a screener back in 90, 91, and we were civilian, and we treated our people nice. We didn't treat them as criminals. If you did something wrong, then, yeah, we called the police, but it's just so out of control. And they have, like, three times the people we had. No, like, why? Why do you have to have all these people? And they look like they have Hungarian
wow.
Air Force uniforms on. And they have attitudes. They don't pay them enough. It's, like, ridiculous. It's like I said, I'm retired Fed. And I've had to deal with OPM and the VA and everything. And the people usually, the best people in the world don't go work for the federal government. And that's what you get. You get what you get because that's what you pay for. And it's not necessary because that's when 9-1-1, 9-11 changed everything like you were talking about earlier. That's the turning point where everything started going this way.
It really is. And that was, and of course we can look at other events, you know, with the Oklahoma City bombing and the, excuse me, and the crime bill that Bill Clinton signed back then. Each of those is a degree in the boiling pot to boil the frog. But you asked, you know, what could we do? What do we need to do to kind of right this ship and turn it around? The first thing we have to do, I'm all for voting. I am all for getting the proper Supreme Court justices. We saw what a benefit that was and how awesome that was with the proper Supreme Court justices this last session, seeing that they overturned Roe v. Wade. I was extremely excited to see that we had somebody like Donald Trump and then the nation beginning to go on an upswing while he was in office. The majority of people have to understand that first, we have to extricate ourselves from this idea that Washington is the answer, that it's the only answer. And honestly,
right.
the answers to how we right the ship really aren't profound. And again, I stand on the shoulders of giants. It comes from us as fathers. It comes from mothers. It comes from children. It comes from the strong family units teaching their children the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, basing their ideas on scripture, doing home devotions, teaching them about true liberty that comes through Jesus Christ, modeling to our wives and spouses the love of Christ, wives doing the same thing to their husbands, and then the husband and wife modeling that to their children, raising strong men and raising strong women who will then become the next generation of leaders, giving them the proper education that they need, pulling ourselves out of homes or out of public schools, putting our children in either private Christian schools or in homeschool education, which is the best option, I genuinely think, and many people agree. And it comes from starting afresh, starting anew, and, you know, continuing to vote, continuing to worry about politics, obviously worrying about immigration, worrying about the things that are important, but not neglecting the most vital things. And that is the microcosm, which makes up every single culture on this globe. And that is the family. That was the very first institution that God ever created, husband and wife, and then they had children. That was the first institution. The first form of quotey fingers government that we have was the government of mom and dad being the leaders of their home and teaching their children, admonishing their children, guiding them, directing them, pointing them towards the Lord. All of that, that is the most important to right this ship. And, you know, that's primary. And then our secondary is to be involved in the things that are going around us, especially in our local churches, being involved in the local churches and pushing programs that are supposed to be pushed by the local church. You know, the government does not need to have a housing and urban development department. The right. Church is supposed to be assisting people in getting stable homes, teaching them. The government shouldn't be involved in marriage. They should not say one thing or another about marriage. That's a moral issue.
I agree.
It comes down to the church. You know, and the same thing with abortion. You know, that we can't even trust the federal government to say that abortion is murder and that children have to be protected and that murder is wrong. You know, if they're not even going to say that the most fundamental right, the right to life, begins in the womb, begins at conception, if they're not going to be the ones to protect them, I mean, what other hope can we have in the federal government to do anything for us?
You're absolutely right. I don't know. I don't know. I think they slowly have taken over the authority role. And, you know, do we need a Supreme Court? Because right now, all they're doing is changing the laws. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're actually, oh, yeah, that's good. That's bad. They're up and down. They have a finger, the thumb, up or down. That's what they do now. I know they do other things, but the only time we see them, and it takes months for them to make a decision. So I don't know how good they are, what they're good for. And they're smart people. They're really good. You saw how they kind of like Kamala Harris, she's an attorney. She went against them, and she got burned every single time with the nominee.
Yeah.
Because she was a government attorney. These people were in the real world. They had to make money. Or they were professors. And you can't, there's no comparison. That's how you tell government from private what the quality is. And that's what we got as our government. We have the government version of the government. We don't have private ideas. I think President Trump brought that to our government. You see how things were so much better. Instead of going with the status quo, he was like, hey, this is how we do it in business. Because you have to survive. There's no impetus in the government to make things right or to do things right. That's one of the things. And no accountability at the top.
Exactly. What's their motivation? You know, they've got you over a barrel anyway. They can, you know, right now we're looking at 87,000 IRS agents being hired.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
They, you can't, and then they thank you for sending in your check, or they thank you for listening to them. It's like, you know, I have no choice but to listen to you, or you're going to ruin my livelihood. You're going to take all my money. You're going to audit me. So there is no concern. There is no care. I actually made a comment to somebody the other day that worked at the IRS. I used to work in the IRS for about 11 months. And the only thing that it got me through working through the IRS was the fact that I worked for the TEGE department, the tax exempt government entity. Now, I worked for them in Covington, Kentucky, in Cincinnati, right across the river, not 3 miles away from us, right across the river in Ohio from where I was working, was the Cincinnati division of TEGE, which was the one, the department that was actually preventing the CPACs and the Republican organizations from getting their tax exempt status. You know, that happened right, the same department right across the river. It happened a couple of years, of course, after I was gone. But uh, the I made a comment to somebody the other day, that's kind of a sidebar, that works at the IRS. I was like, well, I would be fine if the IRS dissolved and we didn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
And, of course, right. She looked at me cross-eyed. I'm like, well, you think about all of the government agencies that are out there. If we mm-hmm. were to begin dissolving those government agencies, all of those people, unfortunately, they might have a marketable skill that they learned while they were working for the government. They can go to the private
right.
sector. If the job that the government is doing right now is so vital to the heartbeat of our nation, if it's so vital to the growth of our economy, somebody in the private sector is going to pick up what that company is doing, what that agency is doing. If it's necessary, if we dissolve that and we put all of those workers back into the private sector and we reduce the amount of government spending, we're going to reduce the amount of inflation. That's going to be a given. If we reduce the amount of government employees, we're going to reduce the tax liability. We're not going to have a huge budget because we're not going to have all of these departments going into play to carry out whatever pork that the Congress decides to stick in these bills. And of course, people look at me thinking that that's a little Pollyanna. But that's really, you can't do all of this at once. You have to start somewhere. And I would be fine with starting to dissolve the IRS first off. That would be great for me.
You know, you just made me think of something. The IRS could be replaced by private businesses that would do the job right and they would care. Just like FedEx, right? Just like Amazon. They don't use, the post office is, you know, you don't go there anymore. I mean, you want something fast or delivered. So it's a whole other world of, hey, this is actually better than the government. And people, hey, my dad worked at the post office. A lot of people did or do. They hate it because it's a terrible environment. It's not. This I know a lot of people who say they this is the worst job they ever had, even though it's a government job. They got all cushy jobs like people think they are, but they don't get it done the same way. I mean, I have mail. Still waiting. I have my return for my business from 2 years ago. It's still at the IRS. And I found out why through a friend. It's because people are working at home and there's trucks full of business mail returns that somebody had to go to the congressman to get theirs back. And they still owe me that from 2 years ago. No business would ever do anything like that. They make it happen.
Wow.
Isn't
you know,
crazy?
And the... It is crazy, but it makes sense because it goes along with the understanding that private businesses, the private sector cares more about their employees. They care more about their customers. They care more about their product and their service than the government does, you know, because you're in the government, you're going to keep your job, especially if you're part of the union in the government. Can you believe that?
Yes.
Taxpayers are working for the government. And they are part of a union to protect them from being fired from their job. So you have somebody that works in the government that can't get fired because of their union. What do they give a crap about you? You call the IRS. What do they care about your long hold times? Customer satisfaction, customer service. Nobody is happy when they call the IRS. You know, so it's when I worked there, we never once heard about customer service. We never once heard about taking care of the client.
No.
We never once heard any of that. Because what are they going to do? They're not going to call somebody else. There's no competition, you know. So private sector business, and that's of course the way the economy is built. That's the way it's structured. The private sector cares more about what they do.
Absolutely, and about this IRS problem I had, I could not talk to one person. I was dialing for months, never got a person, and. Instructions,
unreal.
You know, their website's ridiculous too, just to log on. But anyway, it's nothing like that. Just like they don't, like you said, they don't care about the customers. I've been to military doctors, terrible. Of course, like I said, they don't always go to the military if you're a top-notch doctor. You're out making money. So we have all this, the mentality too. You know, it's just like the FBI and the CIA, all those places are a different mentality. We build them up so much in the movies. I think J. Edgar Hoover started this. Oh, it's a G-man. It's a G-man kind of thing. But they have a job to do. And like I said, the best people don't go there. You know, they're going to hire people. Hey, you got a degree? Okay, let's go. That's
yeah.
the qualifications. And I've seen it happen. Oh,
right.
You got a degree? We're going to hire you. I don't care how good you are.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
If you can fog a mirror, that's all that matters.
Ha ha ha. Right. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So
I was just going to say the only thing that working at the IRS made me happy was the fact that I was telling people how to not pay taxes when they became a government exempt, when they became a tax exempt organization. So.
I don't have, you know, like I said, I worked for the government years ago, and I'm a contractor now, by the way, but there are things that you can't, the things that don't make any sense. I've dealt with all these agencies. I'd call somebody, hey, what's wrong? You know, I'm trying to get this thing through, and this is like when I was getting out of the military. Nobody knew one answer from one end to the next. Nobody had an idea. I call three times. I hear this from everybody, three different answers. Which one is true? You'll find out eventually.
Yeah.
But that's the level of not caring. Same with the IRS, level of not caring, of taking care of people, and it's because that's not their goal. But I do know there's a culture of your customer is inside your organization, inside of your three-letter agency. That was very heavily pushed, and it wasn't the people on the outside. The people that their customers were never the priority, and it's just like you said. So, Eric, tell us about yourself, where we can find you, and if you have anything to say at the end of this program.
Oh, well, breakdradio.com is the website. That's BREAKDRADIO, breakdradio.com. You can go there and listen to the show via podcast. You can also hear it live, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, every Saturday. And we broadcast on Facebook and Twitch as well as on Mojo50. And you can also leave me a voicemail if you would like to. Just head on over to breakdradio.com and click on the microphone in the bottom right-hand corner. If there's anything I've said during this program tonight or anything that you want to leave me a question about or a concern about anything, just leave it there. We'll play it on the show and answer your question. Maybe a wrong answer, but we'll still give you an answer. And you can find me on all the socials. You can find me on I'm on Facebook, Parler, MeWe, Gab, Twitch. I'm on Getter, which I'm really, really liking Getter, by the way. And I think it said Twitter, but look on all the social medias and you'll be able to find me at Break D Radio. Getter, by the way, I can't get over it. That's a really sleek, nice looking app. I just really like it. So you can find me there.
Awesome.
And do the show and just, you know, drop me a line. Let me know you heard me on here and let me know if you have any questions or concerns and I'd be happy to address them.
And I wanted to bring on the show just to say, hey, welcome to the family. Welcome to PNR. And we're happy to have you. You do fantastic work, by the way. I like your programs and the way things are set up and your formats. Awesome. You do an awesome job. Break D Radio. That's what you look for. See Aaron and listen to Aaron in the shows, and you've heard him now. You see how quality he is. Aaron, you did an excellent job. I appreciate you coming on. And you were like the side guest a little bit today, but I think this is was necessary. I think you need to talk these things over. I appreciate your inputs and everything you you contributed to that. It's not easy. I know I can tell you're a seasoned radio host. I love it.
Thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate that. Thank you very, very much.
And I didn't know you're like right down the road.
Yeah, neither did I.
We're
going to get together for lunch.
Wow. That's awesome. We got to get together, go to a museum or something. So
yeah,
so either
be
museum,
fantastic.
We're going to do creation, and we could also do the Wright-Patterson Air Force Museum.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That'd be awesome. Everybody
Never
else
been.
Is down in Florida or West Virginia, whatever, but we're good. We're cool. We're cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, neighbor.
On.
I appreciate it.
Oh, by the way, I wanted to say I love Mojo50. That's like a dream place to go. Maybe someday I'll get there. I don't know. But, congratulations for being on there. I used to listen to that all the time. Now I listen to RBN. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's where Peter Serafin shows up a lot. Yeah, I love that network too. I like this network, those two, and the people. So we say what we want, we do what we want, you know what I mean? And we like free speech. I like working with patriots. And that's what it's all about. I mean, we're becoming more popular now than we ever have been. So Anyway, thank you. We have 3 minutes left, and I appreciate you coming on. You have a nice evening, sir, and I'll see you on the other side.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on. Thanks, everybody, and look forward to doing this again. You have a great night.
You too, sir. Thank you.
You got it.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was a fantastic show. We had a lot of things happening, great callers and ideas bandied about, because you can only bandy about. You can't bandy around or anything, because that's what our language has come to. One word follows another no matter what. So, and by the way, I think rap music has too many words in it, but that's my opinion. So next week, our guest will be one of the candidates for Georgia governor back in 2020. Great guy. I learned a lot from all my guests are awesome. It's Merle Rutledge. He's going to be on next week as our guest. We're going to learn about him running for the 18th district of Virginia. And he knows all the big players over there, and he's a great guy. He's on YouTube a lot. And he's also on Facebook talking about his aspirations and dreams and how things are going bad there and how they're going to change it around. And very inspirational guy. I appreciate him coming back. He was on once before last year. Fantastic candidate. So I hope you're able to support him and come on next week and talk to him. And now I'm going to say goodbye. Good night. I love the show tonight. It was perfect. And I'll put this in the archive so you can always follow the link. You'll always be able to get the show. It never goes away because we don't throw anything away on this program. Have a good night, everyone. God bless America.